Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Ace Atkins, whose latest Quinn Colson novel, called The Shameless, is available now wherever your fine books are sold. This time around, Quinn, who's a former Army Ranger and now a rural sheriff in northern Mississippi, is reinvestigating the death of a man from 20 years ago. It was presumed a suicide, but a couple New York City podcasters show up in town and start asking questions. Quinn, if there's any stereotype I have about novels set in the South, just that I have personally, it's that there's always buried secrets that affect an entire community. And then the more I read, the more I find out that's sort of true everywhere. But this book has a lot of that, right?
Yes, certainly. I mean, when you live in a rural area, you know, that's the thing that's attractive to me about writing something that's not in a city, is because the ripple effects are, I think, a lot larger and a lot more personal. And you have a friend here that's a deputy sheriff, and he said, you know, in the cities, people want to know what neighborhood you're from. You know, if you're a cop, you know, if you're a criminal, what neighborhood do you come from? But when you're a rural cop, people want to know, or a sheriff, they want to know, who are your people? And I think that's really indicative of how things work down here.
This whole idea about investigating a crime or a death from 20 years ago, what challenges does that give you as a writer? Because you've got to remember that there's not technology that was available back then. So as you write about it, what do you have to keep in mind as you're doing that?
Well, it's interesting. I used to be a newspaper reporter, and several of the stories I used to cover as a reporter, some of the bigger feature articles I worked on, sometimes they involve cold cases. And it's interesting to me to write about those kind of things from a cold case perspective because of the things that can come out years later and the memories that maybe initially people were not as clear on, but later on they're a little bit more forthcoming. And I think it's interesting to dig into the past. Just it's kind of a little window into history, and certainly for a rural community or a little place like Tippahaw County, you certainly get a better perspective.
Do you find that your characters are less reliable 20 years outside of a murder and they kind of have selective memory?
You know, they can be less reliable or more reliable. I think time loosens people up a little bit. Certainly, you know, memories do fade, and you know, it's not as sharp as when something first occurred. But, you know, I also think that the thing about opening up a cold case is the amount of time and pressure that works on people, and people that were witnesses and people that do have connection to something like that. That can be a very forceful thing, and I think that's what's interesting about it. That's what was always interesting to me as a reporter and still interesting to me as a storyteller.
The other interesting part about this is that Brandon Taylor, the deceased young man, he's found in the woods with a hunting rifle next to him, and he's basically the same age as Quinn. And so what does that do to a cop who's investigating this, that he's investigating really a contemporary of his and almost seeing himself in that situation?
Well, and it's even more complicated than that because, you know, not only was he kind of a contemporary of Quinn, a little bit younger, but he also was the boyfriend of Quinn's current wife. And so there's a lot of baggage to unpack with this particular story, this particular case. But I think that with this, one of the reasons, again, why I chose this and I chose to do something that was a contemporary of Quinn, something from the past, is it really, for me as a storyteller, allows me to kind of go back into Quinn's history and to go back into his personal story and the connections to the county. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with this. This is the ninth book in the series. And I really wanted to tell a story that for first-time people, they could get into it by understanding what the county is. They didn't necessarily have to read the eight previous books. And getting in to understand where we are and what has happened in the last, 20 years, I think that really gives us an insight into what Tippahaw County is all about.
Well, you've got characters in Tippahaw County. Hamp Beckett, for instance, Quinn's uncle. You've got Fanny Hatchcock and different people like that. It seems like these books that are set in Mississippi or other places in the South, it's a very vast region, and so you have a lot of people that could be main characters for these books. You just happen to choose Quinn as the main one for this.
Well, that's the fun thing. You know, that's the fun thing about these books. And one of the things that I had written a series early on in my career, and I really vowed as a writer that I would never go back to writing a series because it can be very limiting for a writer because you're writing about the same hero, the same character every time. And what I wanted to do with this, and what was exciting to me about finally starting another series again, was the diversity of the characters. and having all these kind of different people to write about. And I really enjoy that as a writer. It's you know, Quinn, it's a little bit, you know, you see the book and it's a Quinn Coulson novel. Well, Quinn is a character in the book, but he's certainly not the only main character. I mean, he shares the stage with a lot of different people, like Fanny Hathcock, who runs the Rebel truck stop and, you know, is working as a madam in North Mississippi, and then digging into the past, Quinn's late uncle, Hamp Beckett. You know, all these different characters are really, really fun for me to write about. And my background is not only as a novelist, but, you know, I'm very into movies, I'm very into film, and I really wanted to create something that felt like a fun action film.
When you started this series, really James Lee Burke was the only one out there that was writing anything about the South, but he was writing about, was it Louisiana, right?
True.
Okay, so yeah, what's the cultural difference between novels set in Louisiana and Mississippi?
It's a big difference. You know, I think really when I talk about, you know, when I got on the road and try to explain where I live, I look at this area, you know, in Quinn's territory, there are all these different heroes that kind of, you know, certainly it would be very hard to write a book in Louisiana because James Lee Burke's, you know, shadow looms so large. He's one of my absolute favorites. But, you know, the Deep South culturally really can encompass Mississippi, Alabama, parts of Georgia, North Louisiana. But when you get down to, you know, what Burke writes about in Southern Louisiana and Cajun culture and all that, it's really its own world. And there's really nowhere else like it in the United States. I mean, where you have, you know, part of the population that, you know, 50, 60 years ago was still speaking French. You know, the food, the music, the people, it's a real anomaly. I mean, it's almost like, you know, parts of Texas, I feel the same way. You know, that's not really the South. That's an imprint of Texas. South Louisiana is its own thing. But I think Mississippi, the area that I write about, certainly could be set in Alabama, parts of Georgia, North Louisiana, that kind of thing. It's the more of a broader Deep South culture.
Has Quinn, I mean, you've written characters, you've written historical fiction and, you've true crime novels, basically. And do these characters come to you fully formed like a nonfiction character would, or is he still forming in your mind every time you write about him?
I think I talked to you about the hard part of writing a series character is going back to the same character again and again. But hopefully what you're doing with that character, the thing that I've done with Quinn now in 9 books, is it is still an evolving work. And there are parts of Quinn that get more and more defined. Like when I go back and I recently reread parts of the Ranger, which was the first Quinn book, and I see really how he has evolved from that first book. I think he's a little bit more wry, a little bit more weathered than he was even in the first book. And that's what's fun about it, is that there are things that maybe you didn't do in the last book, or maybe things that I didn't do in The Shameless that I wish I could have, you know, gotten a little bit different or a little bit better, and then I have the chance to do that in the next book. And that's one of the great things about writing a series, is hopefully you get better with each one.
This is a chicken and egg question, but when you have something that you want to put into his persona or make it part of his biography, are there certain things that happen in the book in order to bring that out, or do things happen in the book because Quinn is who he is?
I think hopefully character always comes first, and that's really what I always try to strive for. I've never been a big plot-heavy guy. I mean, the storylines of my books, you know, I'm not looking to completely reinvent the wheel. But what I really do hope to do with these books is have fully defined characters. And what you're asking is certainly the characters dictate the story. I mean, things are going to happen in The Shameless, certainly happen because of who Quinn is or who Fanny Hathcock is. And they really do. I mean, that is the fun of writing a book, is hopefully your characters are so real to you and so fully formed, they make decisions that have nothing to do with the plot. They have nothing to drive the story or the whodunit or the thrills and whatever. I mean, it's really all about character for me.
I'm chatting with Ace Atkins about his brand new Quinn Coulson novel, The Shameless. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Putnam. And Ace, as we continue down this line, could you ever go back to writing about historical crimes that, you know, I mean, or is that beyond you now because you're so ingrained in the novels?
No, man, I love doing that. And, you know, again, you know, coming from a background as a newspaper reporter, digging into the history or doing a cold case, I mean, one of the biggest stories I wrote when I worked at a paper in Tampa was uncovering a murder that happened in the 1950s. That's a passion of mine, and I love it. It is very labor intensive. And, you know, when I write a Quinn book, you know, fortunately, I know these people very well. I know Quinn very well. I know Quinn's mother. I know his sister, Caddy. I know his best friend, Boom. I kind of write from this like I'm writing about my own people, my own family. But when I get into writing the historical books, the true crime novels, it's very labor intensive. I mean, the last one that I did about Machine Gun Kelly, Infamous, it came from about 8,000 pages of FBI records, and it took me probably 6 or 7 months just to prep to write the book. But I hope to go back to that. I feel like that's something that I can bring to the table as far as crime novels that not a lot of people do, and it's something I really enjoy. So I do have several true crime books that I want to write that one day. My schedule's so busy, I just don't know when I'll have the time.
Well, you're putting out a Spencer book and a Quinn Coulson book every year. I mean, you'd have to take a couple years off from these characters, right?
No, it's a pretty intense schedule. I mean, I'm finishing up the new Spencer now. The new Spencer will be out in November, and essentially I go on book tour starting tomorrow, and then when I get back, I'm back on deadline for Quinn. So I've been doing that for almost 10 years now, so it's pretty intense.
Here's something I've always wondered. You go on book tour, you go do a reading or whatever, sign a bunch of books. Are you writing while you're out on book tour? Do you go back to your hotel that night and type?
You know, I know writers who do that, and I always have the intention of doing that. And I don't think it's ever happened. You know, because I've been doing this for quite some time. I've been writing for almost 20 years now, and I think on every book tour I've taken my laptop with me, and I don't know if I've ever actually opened it. I always take it with great intentions with me, but I think I'm always on my phone. If I have to answer an email or anything like that, it's on the phone. But I cannot remember a time that I've actually opened up the laptop and written. It's always with good intentions, and it's always with good hope, but it just never happens.
Well, it seems like the publicity for these books has changed so much in 20 years since you've been doing this. Have you felt it?
It has. I mean, you know, it used to be when I first got started is usually you go into a new market. If I was going into Atlanta and you do the morning show and you do an interview with the local newspaper, that kind of thing. But, you know, with the death of newspapers and the death of the way that the story is getting out there, it's changed a great deal. But in other ways, it's been interesting, too. You know, it's allowed me to go to more non-traditional formats to speak to people. And I think there's more of a core audience that's being found, you know, on blogs and podcasts and that kind of thing.
Do you still have that fear in your mind that you're going to show up and nobody's there to listen to you read or buy the book?
You know, I don't know if I'd call it a fear. I'd call it you just don't know. You know, you go on the road and, you know, I will say it is certainly different when I'm very fortunate to have a lot of wonderful fans for Quinn, and they are very loyal people. And I think that, you know, when I was starting a new story every time with a true crime book, sometimes it might have been a little bit more challenging to say, hey, do you want to hear about a 1950s murder case or, you know, something, the Fatty Arbuckle affair from the 1920s? It was a pretty select audience. But the Quinn fans are very loyal, and it's good to see those people out on the road. So I look forward to it.
But just from a pure marketing standpoint, that's got to be great because you've got a readership that's already built in who are going to read every Quinn Coulson novel regardless. But is there a challenge in getting people to jump into a series 9 books in?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question, and I'm not really sure. I mean, I was aware when I was writing this book, number 9, that I wanted to create something that was accessible for people who had not been part of the series before. And that's really the invention of not only the digging into the past, but also the podcasters. When you get into, there's a character named Tashi Coleman, who's a podcaster, comes to Tippahaw County, and she knows absolutely nothing about it. She knows none of the characters, the people who are the family histories or anything like that. And that was the main draw for that. But, I mean, I really, you know, what you really hope with a series is there is a connectivity to it. So I don't want people to shy away from the series because they feel like that they have to read every one. But at the same time, I want to reward readers who have read all 9 books because there certainly is there are major interconnected stories.
And I'll tell you, there are worse ways to spend a summer than sitting down and reading 9 Quinn Coulson novels. So that it's not like it's an unpleasurable experience. All right, this book is called The Shameless. It's the latest Quinn Coulson novel available from Ace Atkins. Ace, another great book. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Hey, thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
But I'm shameless when it comes to loving you. I'll do anything you want me to.